you're here. Fellowship sweeter, knowing you're near.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, January 30th, 2019. Many times it's been the case that while Jason has co-hosted a Wednesday or Friday program, I get a little material, like he shares something as he's praying. I don't write the note down right then because it would be really proper. But in the midst of your prayer, Kathleen, a couple things came to mind. So that'll be some of the initial things we talk about before you read your special article in the January edition of the Prime Life Times.
Thank you so much for all these inspiring and meaningful articles, Kathleen.
Oh, well, thank you. And I will say this, I never thought I'd be a stand-in for Jason.
Oh, yeah, yeah. In fact, Jason's taken some extended time off. And we haven't determined exactly when he's going to come back, so Joey Crowell is going to continue on the Thursday and Friday edition. And then Wednesday, we're devoting to the Prime Life Times, Prime Life Times in review. And then Monday, you all know about the Memorization Monday and a growing group of people that continue to sign up. And
so exciting.
I've ordered another 30 books.
Excellent.
And so I think Megan Mel, she wanted 6 copies to hand out to some friends. She's loving it.
Okay.
And some other people came by, so we've run out, and we're
You may as well order like 60. I mean, they're going fast. Yeah, you keep reordering.
Well, with this next 30, we'll get right near the 100 because...
That's awesome.
Of some that had it and some that have handed it out to other people. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of fun to have 100 Bible verses, this book, in 100 different people's hands.
Yeah.
Before we have you read, Kathleen, and I mentioned through your prayer what came to mind, I want to point out that Great News Radio Children's Choir is continuing. Tomorrow we have rehearsal at 5:10, but some come at 4:45, and I usually have Papa John's Pizza. They've worked out a deal for me, so we usually have Papa John's Pizza and some carrot sticks and apple slices of maybe a little juice box
carrot
or something.
Carrot sticks that deprive the kids lunch.
Yeah. Actually, most of the kids, they, you know, Holly, sometimes she's had pea pod things that they eat. And
that's
great. The kids, broccoli she brought once, and all the kids were grabbing it. These are
they probably don't eat
much
at home,
different than me. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. But it looks different here.
Yeah. And what time is this again?
That well, they eat at 4:45, and then 5:10 rehearsal starts promptly. So some come for the pre-dinner. I call it a light dinner. Yeah. And then
Kathleen, we should just accidentally leave some of our things here and need to come back at 4:45.
I was
come and pick it up. That's right.
Get some pizza.
So that starts tomorrow, and we're working towards having the children join the Singing Men of GNN at the Home and Garden Show here.
That's
not official yet, but that would be a fun thing to work towards.
That would be great.
And they're working on the national anthem, so I hope they can sing the national anthem maybe at a women's volleyball match or some other things. They now have the Globetrotters under their belt.
You know, I don't know if I could get the national anthem out every word for word.
I could. Singing Men have done it a bunch of times.
You could do the words. It's difficult.
The singing part
gets up very high.
So the children's choir, if you have a child between the ages of 6 to 13, 12 or 13, sign up at our website, greatnewsradio.org. You can't miss the link right there on the homepage. And we can get them signed up and joining us in the days ahead. And then the Singing Men, we relaunch this coming Monday at the First Baptist Church of Champaign in Savoy. That's February, like 4th? Let me look at my calendar.
Goodness.
Yeah, February 4th, the first Monday in February, we'll restart up. So it'd be a great time, men, for you to be a part of this men's choir, which meets every Monday night, 7 to 9 p.m. at the First Baptist Church of Champaign in Savoy. So... Oh, yeah, okay. But as you were praying, and you've had a heart for the Jewish people, you and John, kind of a unique ministry that God's placed on your heart. You've had many Jewish friends locally. But I was thinking as you were praying up today's program and the reading that you're about to share about Rabbi Newman, who we both know well, or knew well, I was thinking of your email address, Watchman on the Wall. And Kathleen, you truly have been, in a biblical sense, a watchman on the wall, somebody that's been caring for God's people, caring for God's purposes and plans, and being that watchman on a wall.
Well, thank you.
So I was thinking that as you were praying for your Jewish friends, for the people that'll be tuned in today, that they would connect with God, they would sense his love. You were quoting John 3:16 through part of your sharing time, so I just thought how appropriate that your email gmail. What is it? Watchman on the wall at gmail.com?
Watchman on the wall.
Is it Yahoo or Gmail?
It's Gmail.
Okay.
But the email address is Kathleen@watchmanonthewall.com.
Okay, Kathleen. And is that the same email under a content contributor under your articles?
Yeah,
same
okay.
thing.
Yeah, it
yeah.
is the
I'll
same thing.
Have to look
thing.
Closely as we read it together.
Yeah, yeah.
But wait, there's more. Something happened on Sunday and on Monday that you were just telling us about a couple of days ago.
Oh, yes. Well, Sunday was the International Holocaust Remembrance Day. And that's been going on for, quite some time, several years. But Sunday was the anniversary of the troops going in. It was actually Russian troops that went in and got the people out of
Auschwitz.
They liberated Auschwitz on the 27th of January in 1945. Now, it was not the first camp to be liberated, nor the last. And it was one that people were in for periods of time, and then if they survived, they were marched to other camps.
Yeah.
And that's what happened with Rabbi Newman. It was one of about seven camps that he was in. And Auschwitz was the only camp where they did the tattooing of the numbers on the arms. So if there is a Holocaust survivor that has the tattoo on their arm, they were in Auschwitz.
And many people know that name, but there were literally hundreds, if not thousands, of camps.
Thousands.
That's what many people don't know about
thousands.
What happened throughout all of Europe, throughout
That's
much
right.
of Europe. There were
That's
little
right.
camps, maybe 20 or 30 or 50, but many people associate the Holocaust with three or four or five of the big camps. But it was pretty widely recognized throughout Europe that there were many camps.
They're finding evidence of camps all the time.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Some were quite small, but in areas. The Germans tried to keep them out of Germany, though. They tried to keep the camps out of Germany. They did not want the camps to be associated with Germany.
Yeah.
As if that couldn't happen.
That didn't happen.
Yeah. But,
wow.
And then when I was listening to Monday's program, I sort of had a little chuckle there.
Are you taking the Memorization Monday Challenge? I know John's purchased a book.
Well, he didn't tell me he purchased the book, so he hasn't even shown it
okay.
to me.
So,
closet memorization.
Yes,
you know.
Or something that way, yes. But I heard you talking about the 23rd Psalm.
Mm-hmm.
And it might have even been the first time I met Rabbi Newman. But it was early on in our friendship, and I asked him if there was one thing that really helped him get through those years in the camps.
Yeah.
And he thought a minute or two, and he said, the 23rd Psalm.
Hmm.
And Rabbi was going to be a rabbi from the age of three.
Yeah, they start him really
start
young.
Very early. So he knew he had memorized many, many Bible verses by that time. And this was the one, he said. In fact, for his 90th birthday, I did a painting for him of a lamb in a shepherd's arms.
It's a beautiful painting.
And I purposely left out the figure. I would never try to paint the face of Jesus anyway.
Good for you.
But I just wanted the arms to be there so the rest of the shepherd could be in the observer's mind.
It's a beautiful painting.
And so that was why I thought, well, yeah, that is a good one to memorize. I think I was probably 10 or 12 when I memorized it, so I don't know the NIV version.
Sure.
You know the King James Version.
That's right. That's right.
Now, what was the inspiration behind having Rabbi Newman's story in our January edition of the Prime Life Times? Of all the different people, because I know recently you interviewed a Vietnam veteran, and you're working on another World War II veteran in your series From Generation to Generation.
Yes.
Let me look at this. From Generation to Generation, Character Really Does Matter, a series by Kathleen Jennings.
Yes. Well, one of the big reasons was because in January, it was the International Remembrance Day.
Yeah.
And that's a time that many people do remember it. They are aware of it. I think the president even sent out messages mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. went to, I think he and Vice President Pence went to a memorial for them. And it's something that, with so many, many people saying that the Holocaust never happened, we have to have these reminders.
Yeah.
Because history is so important. It doesn't start the day you were born. It really doesn't. And if you don't learn the lessons of history, you'll simply repeat them. They'll be repeated over and over again. And anti-Semitism is on the rise, unfortunately.
Tragic.
As is anti-Christianity yeah. in many places. And people must learn what happened and how to face those things. And as it said in Joshua, be strong and of good courage.
It's a great scripture.
God, do not be terrified. Do not be dismayed or something, for the Lord your God goes before you.
That's right.
Did you memorize that in the...
No, that was an old one that I memorized years ago.
You just know that one, yeah. You're just a wealth of scriptures these days. I love it. Yeah. It's like the ones you knew before are coming back, too.
Yeah, I'm trying.
Yeah,
worth it hard.
That's right. Well, you know, the Bible is not just some old book that was written that doesn't apply to today. It applies to today.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's where you get your direction. And you can be sure that that direction is on solid ground.
Well, not only that, but it's God's inspired holy word.
I mean,
we've been reading these on Mondays, building the case. This is God's inerrant holy word.
Absolutely.
If there's anything that we should be mindful of or conscientious of or fill in our thoughts with,
Absolutely.
It's God's word.
That's right. Well, absolutely.
Infused with life.
Yeah.
And God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
That's right.
But how much more, and I'm really glad that the author, Robert Morgan, said this at the end of the program, as much as God's word is to be revered, to be studied, to be mm-hmm. learned, to be understood, to be loved, mm-hmm. the word, the Lord Jesus Christ, is even greater.
Yes.
I mean, as much as God's word is great, and I recommend it, mm-hmm. get to know the word, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said those same things, and I was like, I'm so glad he said that.
So in the beginning was the word.
Yeah, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Yeah, that's an amazing passage.
Right.
That's the second one that we'll be studying together come February.
If we don't let Kathleen read, we're going to be back on memorization Monday.
So, living beyond Kathleen's story about Rabbi Newman and being mindful of Holocaust Remembrance Day this past Sunday.
Yes. Yeah. Living Beyond. His number, 143945, was tattooed on his left forearm, but God's shalom was written on his heart. Hmm. I was truly blessed to call Rabbi Isaac Newman friend. I first met Rabbi when I visited Sinai Temple in Champaign, where he was Rabbi Emeritus. He was a knowledgeable and wise man with a kind and unassuming demeanor. I had read about the Holocaust and watched old newsreels, but I didn't realize until later the true extent of the humiliation and degradation that he and other Nazi concentration camp prisoners endured. At first, they were given numbers that were sewn on their clothing. They would be known only by these numbers and were beaten if, quote, we didn't stand up fast enough or turn around fast enough or walk fast enough, unquote. All personal belongings were confiscated, leaving only toothbrushes and underwear. Each day, we were given only a bowl of soup and a quarter loaf of bread. Some prisoners, of course, were immediately shot or sent to the gas chambers. More was to come. Beatings, betrayals, grief, hope, despair, thankfulness, Furstenfeld, Auschwitz, Fun Fiction, Gross Rosen, Mauthausen, Wies, Ebensee. It was at Auschwitz that Rabbi received the numbers tattooed on his arm. At Mauthausen, he was saved from freezing to death when a fellow prisoner gave him his coat. It was also there that his younger brother Yosel died. At Ebensee, American troops would find him barely conscious and unable to move, only a few hours from death. How had it come to this? Growing up in the small Polish town of Zduńska Wola, Isaac Neumann didn't experience many problems among the Jewish population, ethnic Germans, or the Poles until after Hitler became Chancellor of Germany in October of 1933. Anti-Semitic propaganda began to fill the pages of the Polish press, and the Jewish community became very concerned. Polish and German leaders of the town began reassuring residents that nothing could possibly happen in Zduńska Wola. "Our people live and work together," they said. "Why should things be disturbed? No one would benefit from that." Then one spring day in 1936, just 2 weeks before Passover and Easter, three Christian boys disappeared. They had been playing in the dunes at the edge of the pine forest near the town. Rumors and accusations began circulating, claiming that Gentile children were being sacrificed for the Passover celebration. There were calls for boycotts of Jewish stores, and officials began limiting Jewish access to trades, professions, and universities. Tensions were running high. A week later, the boys were found. They had been building tunnels for sandcastles, and they were in them when the tunnels collapsed. The police declared it an accident, but things were never the same. After Germany invaded Poland on September 1, 1939, 17-year-old Isaac and his family tried to escape to Russia, but had to turn back. "We thought we would be safe if we stayed among the people we knew." Isaac's grandmother had always been a great source of love and encouragement. One fall day in 1940, she was summoned to German headquarters and told that she was one of several senior citizens in the town who had been chosen to be guests of the Reich for 2 weeks at a special spa not far from there. As family and friends gathered to bid her goodbye, she embraced Isaac and whispered, "Goodbye, my Itzko, my studious one, my little Rebbe. You have my blessing. Remember the many psalms and praise God always. Study Torah with diligence." Then Isaac's grandmother, who was highly respected by the Jewish, Polish, and German people of the town, climbed into a horse-drawn cart and disappeared forever. Many years later, Rabbi would learn that his father, mother, and four sisters had been taken to the Jewish cemetery just outside Zduńska Wola, shot, and buried in a mass grave along with the other remaining Jewish residents. In 1950, Rabbi came to the United States on a U.S. Navy transport ship, along with many other displaced persons. Here he studied at university, became a rabbi, married, and raised two sons. He taught in Brazil, Peru, Guatemala, and Panama, becoming active in the civil rights movement while serving as a rabbi in Alabama, Iowa, and California. Rabbi Neumann later, in 1974, came to Sinai Temple in Champaign. Then, in 1987, he retired and did a most remarkable thing. He went to East Berlin, the first rabbi in that city since World War II. He founded a congregation there, not far from the site of Hitler's bunker. President Ronald Reagan appointed Rabbi Neumann a member of the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Council in Washington, D.C. Rabbi counted Elie Wiesel, Nobel laureate, among his many friends. He also developed friendships with members of his congregations and local communities, be they Jewish or Christian. If I hadn't spoken with him in a while, he would call and ask me to come by for a visit. Sometimes we would just talk, and other times we would work on a project, combining his words with my watercolors. In 2000, University of Illinois Press published The Narrow Bridge Beyond the Holocaust, written by Isaac Neumann with Michael Palencia Roth. In his book, Rabbi writes, "Yet despite the evil of the Holocaust, it was the evil itself that also showed me the miracle of those individual acts of kindness and courage under the most difficult conditions, acts that renewed my faith in God and humanity. The light of my faith, although sometimes dimmed, was never extinguished. I survived not only through luck and persistence, but also because here and there, in the midst of hell, someone cared for me. Someone gave me a piece of bread after a beating. Someone gave me his winter coat on a frigid night. Someone stretched out his hand."
Then it goes on to say, "Story source in quotations, The Narrow Bridge Beyond the Holocaust, and from personal interviews with Isaac Newman, Kathleen Jennings, who currently lives in Mahomet, Illinois, is a watercolor artist who loves history and researching personal stories of the wars Americans have fought. You can contact her at kathleen@watchmanonthewall.com.
Well, that just about leaves you speechless, doesn't it?
Yeah. He was a wonderful man. I had a number,
yes.
I don't know, 5 or 6 meals at his home and met his wife and talked many times. And we collaborated a few different times at some events where we invited the Christians over to Sinai Temple to understand the Jewish understanding of some of the scriptures, the Old Testament, the Jewish scriptures,
well,
and
great.
Some other things we did together. Had a teddy bear box there when we collected teddy bears on some of our trips to Israel and so forth.
You know, one of the things that I found so interesting was Rabbi told me how he was able to get to the United States and, in fact, how he was able to survive, and it all was due to a paperwork error that the Germans made. That they had so many forms that they filled out, and they were very good keepers of the statistics. Instead, when he was interviewed, instead of putting the name of the street he lived on, Gardner, the person put it in the next line down, which was under occupation. So it looked like his occupation was a gardener. It wasn't. But, of course, in the camps, the Nazis wanted pretty things. They wanted flowers. So they would have him do that. He was able to get a little bit more food that way. And then when it came time to go to the United States, they saw Gardner. Oh, agriculture. Well, that would be good. And so he was one of the first chosen then to go on this ship.
My goodness, such a story,
Such a little thing. Little thing.
Yep. That was a story in the January edition of the Prime Life Times, still available at many locations, but with today and the February edition being out, you could stop by the Great News Radio Center and pick up a copy or read it online or find one still maybe out and about. Or you could, there's always extras here, so stop by the Great News Radio Center here at Lincoln Square. Well, thanks everyone for tuning in and being a part of the special program on Wednesday as we do reviews on the Prime Life Times. Thank you, Kathleen, for writing this story, and we look forward to next month's edition, which will be later today.
And it's kind of a special issue, special story.
We'll leave it at that. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Marianne Simpkins, and Kathleen Jennings with the Ministry of Great News Radio and the Prime Life Times. God bless you. Have a great day and night.